What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Men's Final Four is set. Women's will be set tonight. You'll watch it on ESPN, 7 p.m. Eastern, LSU and Iowa, 9 p.m. Eastern, UConn and USC. We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. NC State, Purdue, Alabama, UConn. Smalls, you okay? I was going to give you a breakdown of some of the games here, but Smalls, I just want to make sure you're okay with Illinois. The fact that you guys gave up, you know, just a ho-hum 30-0 run with you in the building. You're right?
And to think that at halftime, I was so encouraged, guys. I was like, oh, my God, they haven't even hit their max yet, and Illinois is hanging with UConn.
Yeah.
Terrence Shannon hadn't popped off yet. I was like, if they can just get him activated, if they could get the free throws in a better place, maybe they make some halftime adjustments, they could really win this game. And by the time I had sat back in my chair, it was long gone. There was no shot. But I've tried to take a positive spin on this. They hadn't been to the Elite Eight since 2005. It's the best season for Illinois hoops in quite some time, in 20 years. And I love where the state of the program is. Brad Underwood is an amazing coach and an amazing recruiter, and I'm kind of with him. I think Illinois is not going anywhere, but yeah, that one hurt.
Like, yeah, nice try, Smalls. Nice try.
I'm trying to spin it. Yeah. I am definitely bummed out today. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, you know, one of the ones that was a little bit surprising to me, and it's not a 30-0 run, but it is one of those obvious things where you would think the opponent could do something about it, and that was Zach Edey in the second half against Tennessee. I mean, I'm watching that game yesterday, and I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, at some point you need to stop number 15, dog. They're giving him the ball. He is beating you by himself. He had 21-11 in the first half, but the most impressive part is you're talking about a guy that scored 18 of the final 23 points for Purdue. Mm-hmm. Like, that's who the Boilers were going to early and often. You would think if you're Tennessee, you're going to stop the big man from getting the ball. Double team him, triple team him, make somebody else beat you. He ain't the guy that's bringing the ball up into the front court. He's just not. So, like, gang up on him, stop him, front him, whatever. They had no answers. Tennessee had no answers for Zach Edey, and we typically don't see a big dominate in clutch time in the final stretch of games, but he was able to do that. And that was really impressive to see him show up in that way in a time and space where everybody believes that high-level basketball has evolved beyond the back-to-the-basket big man. Zach Edey showed us that's not where he's at with it. I mean, there's a reason why this guy is the reigning defending Naismith Player of the Year, and he showed up in a big way yesterday for his team.
No doubt, and it was the story of the big man all weekend. Donovan Klingon for UConn. We saw DJ Burns last night for NC State. But to Edey, it was 63-60, a huge three by Lance Jones to put him up 66-60 for Purdue. And then Edey on the defensive end at 69-64 had a huge block on Dalton Knecht, who was great for Tennessee in the game yesterday, 37 points. But Edey finished with 40-16 and talked about his performance postgame.
There were so many coaches that looked over me. Like, you could name a program, I could name a coach that looked over me. The Tennessee, Rick Barnes is a great coach, but he was in a bunch of our practice, looked over me. Like, it's kind of been the story of my life. People have doubted me. People look past me and can't do that anymore.
Well, he wasn't looked over on or off the court yesterday.
Yeah.
He wasn't looked over at all. Highly productive player. I mean, this guy just produced at an all-time level.
Putting up numbers.
Put his jersey in the rafters. Zach Edey is an NCAA tournament legend. Yes.
I feel like he was looking over others, maybe, is what was happening yesterday with Zach Edey. But
they weren't looking over him, though. Well, I guess they were and they weren't at the same time. I don't know.
I don't know
if you can look over him.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. So Kendrick Perkins had a series of tweets about Edey, and I think this is always such an interesting thing when it comes to college sports, because in the moment, we celebrate how great they were over the weekend, and then we get to the play, they being some of these big men, some of the players, and then we get to the place of, okay, what are they on the next level? And I don't want to say it doesn't matter, but I don't know that it matters right now. Like, I don't know that I care right this second, guys, if Zach Edey becomes a great NBA player or Donovan Klingon becomes a great NBA player, because if you gave me those two or DJ Burns in the mix, in the finals, I don't care if they end up as great NBA players because I feel like they've done something which hasn't happened in years. Like, we have an upperclassman, dominant college player that we seem to all know the name of.
Yeah, but we're such a preview-oriented society, Ev. We want to know what it means right after it happens. So the reaction is, oh, Zach Edey and them finally were able to punch their ticket and get to a Final Four. What does this mean for Purdue? Are they going to win the national championship? Mm-hmm. If so, where do we compare this run to other teams that have gone on finals runs, especially after they got bounced in the first round last year after being a number one seed? Like, what does it all mean? And I think for Zach Edey, the next step for his basketball career is going to the NBA. Is he going to be a lottery pick? Is he going to be a second rounder? Like, there's a lot of variance in terms of how he's viewed with his overall game and whether or not that translates to the NBA. And I think that's what Big Perk was alluding to, because this is a guy that has done nothing but produce over the last couple of years at Purdue, and yet we find ways to nitpick him and knock him down a peg and not have him with the upper echelon when it comes to prospects that are poised for the NBA draft this summer.
Absolutely. And while I get what you're saying, Evan, live in the moment, appreciate what we're getting with the tournament. We fall in love with these guys, or we see how dominant they are throughout the tournament, and then we do have that what's next. Can I watch them in the NBA? What's going to happen with this player? Will his game translate? I think it's just kind of human nature that we see players that we know and that we're into during the tournament, and we want to know if we're going to be able to continue watching them.
I get it, but like, think about UConn winning last year. I have to look up. I don't even remember who the player, like the most outstanding player was in the Final Four. Right, UConn had a great team last year. Jordan Hawkins goes to the pros. Andre Jackson Jr. goes to the pros and the Pelicans and Bucks respectively. But it's not like they had guys who were there for a long period of time. Edey, we all know the name, right? We kind of know the name now. And I think the comp that's going to be made, and I'm both going to bring up bad and good memories for CeCe here, is going to be Virginia. Like, when Virginia lost in the first round as a one and then came back and won a national championship, if Purdue gets there and wins it all, like, that's what the comp is going to be, not the specific player necessarily. And Klingon, you know, was on the UConn team last year, but wasn't the star of the team. That I think back in our day, so to speak, we had a lot of men's college basketball players that we knew the names of for 3-4 years. We don't have that as much now. And oddly, in this Final Four, we do, because of UConn and now Zach Edey.
Yeah, I mean, three of the starters for UConn played a significant role on last year's championship team. So there is a little bit of character development when it comes to that. You got Caravan, you got Klingon, and you got Newton. So, I mean, That aspect of it is well taken, but I think that UConn is the team that everybody anticipate would going to be there just because of how dominant they've been throughout the course of the regular season. But people still had questions about Purdue. Like people are looking at NC State as the Cinderella. They still don't want to believe that this team belongs on this stage, even though they've proven it 4 games into the tournament. Like, people want to see whether or not Nate Oates in Alabama can become a new age blue blood program in college basketball. Like, there are still a lot of interesting storylines, and I think a lot of it correlates with what's next for these particular programs. Like, what's next for Zach Edey in his basketball career? What's next for Alabama with Nate Oates and what he's done there in turning down some potentially prominent jobs that would be available to him? What's next for UConn? Where does Dan Hurley rank in the pantheon of all-time great college coaches? Like, I mean, outside of NC State, every single team that's in the Final Four, we're asking a question about what's next, either for the program or for an individual player on the program.
Yeah. One thing that I hope in the Final Four is, in particular UConn, is that we get good matchups. Because UConn has been so dominant throughout this tournament. Even Illinois, who was right there with them in the first half, obviously the second half wasn't even close.
Yeah.
UConn has trailed for 28 seconds total this entire tournament.
They suffocate people.
And it was in the first half. Like, they've won 10 consecutive NCAA tournament games going back to last year by double digits. It's insane what they're doing. So now that we have whittled this tournament down and we're in crunch time, I'm hoping that if someone is able to hang with UConn, that it's a close game, because if not, it could be pretty boring.
I do anticipate it being 11, though. I think they'll beat Alabama by double digits.
Yeah, I mean, what makes you think that? If they beat everybody else, they play by at least 20.
Illinois has the number one offense in the country.
The closest game they played was against Greeny's Northwestern team, and you're talking about that being a 75-58 game.
Oh, my God.
That's the closest game they played.
Illinois had the number one offense in the country, and they had no shot in the second half.
So let's go back to Edie for a second. Would you want him on your NBA team? Like, if your team is drafting, let's say, mid-first round, would you say, you know what, I'd love Zach Edie. That would make a lot of sense for my team.
Who couldn't use a guy that's 7'4"? Like, that's what I don't understand. Who couldn't use a guy that's 7'4", that can make his free throws, that can be a rim protector? Who couldn't use that guy in the NBA? I'm just asking the question. Who couldn't use a guy that's as productive as Zach Edey is on the boards? Forget about what he is on the offensive end. Just think about his impact on defense with shot blocking and rebounding. Who can't use that guy?
I get it. And this is why I wanted to avoid this part of it, because it gets us to a place of within the positives, you have to ask the negative questions. There aren't many comps for a guy like Zach Edey in the NBA currently. A lot of teams are going small ball. We have had a resurgence of bigs. Let's not get it twisted, right? We have the three bigs in the Final Four right now with Edie, Burns, and Klingon. We have the defending champ, Jokic, as the MVP of the finals, right? And he's a big. Joel Embiid is the MVP, of course, of the season last year. And Victor Wembanyama was the first pick in the draft, right? But CeCe, is there a comp for Edie in the pros right now? Like, there was back in our day, the Mark Eatons of the world, right? Like, we saw guys like that where they were in the NBA. We don't see many guys built like him in the NBA currently.
No, you don't. But, I mean, you brought up the comp with Brook Lopez, and maybe he can develop into that kind of guy if he adds a perimeter game, because Brook Lopez wasn't a three-point shooter when he came into the league.
I did not bring up that comp. I wish I did, because that's a great comp.
But that's something that he developed along right. the way. So there's that. I mean, you have your outliers. I don't want to go with the Rudy Gobert comp, because Rudy Gobert is such a good defensive player.
Right.
And that's not necessarily Zach Edey's bag. But, I mean, again, when it comes to size, you can't teach the kind of size that he brings to the table. And we've seen him be productive in the collegiate ranks, and that translates to his team overall having success in tournament play.
So as long as we're walking through that door, do you think all three of these bigs have NBA futures? Donovan Klingon, DJ Burns, and Zach Edey? Because Klingon, I'm sold on. I think he definitely does. I think
100%.
He's excellent.
He's dominant.
Yeah, I would probably say Klingon, Edie, Burns, in that order.
Klingon, Edie, Burns.
Yeah.
I think
and
I
love
right
DJ
there.
Burns. I love his game. I just wonder, like 6'9", at that kind of profile, that kind of size. I wonder if there's an NBA team that would be willing to take a chance on his talent.
Mm-hmm.
There has to be something, though, to the he has found a way to lead his team to an insane amount of winning when it matters the most, and his teammates absolutely love him. I understand that doesn't guarantee you an NBA contract, but to me, it's a flyer. Like, if I have a second-round pick and he's available to me, like, at some point I've got to look at it and say, what is this specific person and player doing to trigger this much winning? How do I not get at least a little bit enticed by that, no?
I'm with you, F, but I'm not an NFL decision maker. I'm not a GM. So, I mean, it'll be curious to see what happens. But again, the way that he plays the game, we're seeing a lot of bigs play that way, right? A lot of point forwards, a lot of point centers in today's game. He's very skilled. He's got an array of moves back to the basket or facing guys up. He can put it on the deck. He can shoot it a little bit. He's got a little bit of a float game, too. So there are a lot of things that he can do on the offensive end of the court. There's always a place for guys like that in the NBA. I just wonder, you know, who would be willing to take a shot on developing this guy, because he's not a plug-and-play type of guy.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had, happened in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/unsportsmanlike.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio. MLB Old Faces and New Places with Jeff Passan. Brought to you by TaxAct. Shohei Ohtani, Los Angeles Dodgers.
Shohei Ohtani was the biggest free agent in years. And the two-way superstar didn't have to go very far to ink a historic contract this winter. Former Angel signed a 10-year, $700 million deal with the crosstown Dodgers, with the hopes of finally playing in the Major League Baseball postseason. Ohtani made the playoffs perennially in Nippon Professional Baseball and won the Japan Series with the Nippon Ham Fighters in 2016. But the postseason has eluded him since coming to the United States, as Los Angeles' AL club missed the playoffs in each of Ohtani's six seasons. With the Dodgers, Ohtani should finally get a chance to prove he can deliver when the lights are the brightest. The Dodgers have made 11 consecutive postseason appearances and have won the National League West 10 times during that span. Ohtani is coming off major elbow surgery and is not expected to pitch in 2024. But the $70 million per year average could be worth it after he led the league with 44 home runs last season, en route to his second career Most Valuable Player award.
Jeff Passan's Old Faces in New Places. Brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with.
Shohei Ohtani, Old Face, New Place. Thank you to Jeff Passan, brought to you by TaxAct. Let's get them over with. Dodgers, 4-2 after a series this weekend with the St. Louis Cardinals.
I had a rough weekend in the sports world. I just got to say that.
Go ahead. You may continue.
Well, you know, the Cardinals didn't come out swinging versus the Dodgers. It wasn't great, guys.
You did get one win.
Yeah, and it was a hard-fought one at that, extra innings. They didn't look great. Illinois got smashed by UConn.
Yeah.
And I took a road trip there to watch them get smashed in person.
How did the Battle Hawks do in the UFL?
I don't know. I got to check.
Caw-caw,
indeed. I don't think they won. I need to check. I was busy traveling back yesterday, and then I did two interviews on ESPN Radio yesterday about the Cardinals and about the state of baseball. So I had to just exist and relive my sports pain over and over and over again for the past 24 hours. It's been pretty
brutal. I'd rather sports pain than real life pain. Like, I don't know, hypothetically, someone on this show that happens to be a Cardinals fan planning a big show lunch when one of the members of the show is in Florida. I mean, hypothetically, of course. Thanks
okay.
a lot, Smalls.
First of all, Evan, Rob Lorenzo, our amazing social digital creator, he's just, you know, the social media extraordinaire on this show.
Right.
There is a diner here in New York City near the studio that has gone viral for these amazing pancakes that they have. Rob has been there. I said, is it worth the hype? He said, absolutely. We should go after the show one day. We have talked about this when Evan was here. Rob came in during the commercial break. I said, when are we going to the diner? He says, I had reservations last week, but we didn't go. I said, how about this week? CeCe said, I'm down this week. And Evan's like, oh, great. I'll remember that. And I totally forgot, Evan. I'm sorry that you were in Florida.
Can I ask you another question?
We're supposed to feel bad that he's in Florida?
Yeah, come on. You're in the sunshine.
Wait a second. This is the first time.
Good
this
point.
Is
and
the
it's
first time.
And it's going to be a washout later on today in New
it's
York.
It's raining all week here.
Yeah.
So,
okay,
yeah, you're
well,
right.
Fair.
I don't feel bad.
That's
like,
why
Evan.
Are we supposed to feel bad for you that you're missing out on our diner food?
Well, this is the first time I've been on the only one away, right? Like, everybody else has done the kind of shows away from on the road so far. I'm solo on this trip, and now there's a big group outing. It can make you feel a certain way. I'm not going to lie. I will say, if you need to make reservations at a diner, it's not a diner.
But this one's viral. You know,
it's not a diner if you need
TikTok,
to make reservations.
They want to go.
I'm kind of with Evan on that one. It might not be a diner.
It's
more
a restaurant.
A restaurant. Yeah.
Yep. Exactly right. Mm-hmm.
You're supposed to be able to walk in on a diner. There might be a little bit of a wait. You might have to wait a half an hour to be seated because it might be packed, but you shouldn't be able to make a reservation at the place. If you're able to make a reservation, it's not a diner, it's a restaurant.
Absolutely right. Mm, absolutely correct.
But it's the word diner is in the name.
Doesn't matter. A lot of restaurants are starting to put diner in there to make it have that feel. But if you need to make a reservation, if you walk in there and you can't just sit
or sit within, let's say, a half hour at the most, it's not a diner. Sorry, it's not.
This guy I know went to this place this past weekend, and I saw it on his Instagram story and asked him about it. 2 hour wait to get in. So I think it's smart that Rob is making reservations because I'm not waiting for 2 hours for anything.
Let me use CeCe's words as if I'm CeCe here. Let me tell you what I'm not going to do, right? A 2 hour wait for a diner?
No way.
Yeah. Rob can wait there, right? The rest of us do the show. Yeah. So like he can start waiting at 8 a.m. Eastern, and we'll get there at 10 a.m. Eastern. Then we're good.
It kind of reminds me of this after-hours place called a cafeteria. Like, it's open 24 hours a day, like cafeteria in New York. It's supposed to be a cafeteria, like diner type, but
right.
You have to make a reservation in order to get a table there. So it's not
at an
really
after-hours place?
It's not really a cafeteria. Well, it's 24 hours. We used to call it the after-hours spot because that's where we would go after club night because we'd be hungry. Mac and cheese is bomb, by the way. But, yeah, it's not... It's not really a cafeteria or a diner if you got to make a reservation.
By the way, perfect unintentional lead-in by all of us here to labeling of things. NC State in the Final Four, men's and women's, some have labeled them as an ACC school, as a previous champ in 1983, as a Cinderella. Is that a proper label for them?
Yes. They're an 11 seed, and they haven't won since 1983. We're not talking about dominance in recent years. I quite literally wasn't even born the last time that they won a national title. They had to win, what, 8, 9 straight to get to this point? 9 straight wins. They are only the 6th 11th seed to reach the Final Four since 1979, when they first started doing seeding in the tournament. So they are a rarity. And they are a Cinderella and should be treated as such.
Yeah, they're a Cinderella team. I mean, this is the most losses that any team that's ever reached the Final Four has ever had. They've had 14 losses. They lost 7 of their last 9 games in the regular season, won the ACC tournament, and then they've won their first 4 games in the NCAA tournament. They've played 9 consecutive elimination games and won them all.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're absolutely a Cinderella. Like I said, in the market that they play in, they're not the first priority. They're not even an afterthought. They're the third team, and that's a distant 3 in comparison to Duke and UNC.
Yeah.
And yet they've beaten Duke and UNC on this improbable run that they've had to the Final Four. They fit the moniker of Cinderella. And I mean, DJ Burns is one of the most lovable characters in all of collegiate sports. Just his infectious smile, the enthusiasm that he plays the game with, and how his team overall embodies that. This is a guy that says he grew up in a happy environment and he wants to carry that with him everywhere that he goes. And we've seen it on display on the biggest stage that the sport has to offer. Kevin Keats, their head coach, was about to be fired before the ACC tournament tipped off. And then he parlayed that into a 2-year contract extension because, as you pointed out, Ev, he had the escalators kick in for winning the ACC tournament. So, I mean, think about it. Like, the star player on NC State – 2 years ago was playing basketball at Winthrop University. And most people don't know where that is. Now, I do because my parents live in Charlotte. It's right there in Rock Hill. I mean, but it's just like this is as improbable a run and it's as improbable a cast when you consider the players on the team, the coach of the team. I just think that you got to give them credit where credit is due. This is a Cinderella.
That's what I meant by giving them the treatment as such, like that they're a Cinderella, because despite being a program that has won before, whenever there's a Cinderella, we as a sports community tend to rally around them and we all are pulling for them to get it done. And I feel like that's what's happening with NC State. But it should continue to happen.
But when they won, and I'm sorry to cut you off, they won, they were a Cinderella. They were a Cinderella. They beat Fire Slamma Jamma in the Houston Cougars. They were a Cinderella. Nobody thought that 83 NC State team was going to win a national title. Nobody had that on the board that Jim Valvano was going to get that done. Mm-hmm. That was an improbable run 40 years ago. And the fact that we're talking about 40 years since they've been to a Final Four, I think it's fair to frame it as them being a Cinderella. I absolutely think that they fit the mold.
I am going to read you something very quickly. Ryan Rucco is going to join us, the voice of women's college basketball on ESPN. Huge night tonight in just a couple of minutes. I'm going to read you something that's going to make CeCe love DJ Burns even more than he already does. This from Peter Schrager, NFL Network. Spoke to and texted multiple scouts/GMs about NC State big man DJ Burns as an NFL offensive tackle prospect over the last 24 hours.
Elite.
He is listed at 6'9", probably 6'7", A-plus footwork would get a big turnout and potentially big money if he participated in a pro day slash workout the week after the Final Four.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a 6'7", bulk him up to 300-pound tackle that's got great feet that played basketball at a high level? Kidding me? Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
We're on Sportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Tonight is one of the biggest nights maybe in the history of women's college basketball, and we're not even at the Final Four yet, which means in a week we're going to even top this. What a night tonight is. Number three LSU, number one Iowa, 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN, then number three UConn against number one USC, 9 p.m. Eastern. And the man that is going to be on the call for the LSU-Iowa game is Ryan Rucco, and he joins us now on Unsportsmanlike, along with Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, Evan Cohen with you. Ryan, before we get into the women's college basketball, we've been having a debate on our show. Canty and I say that if you have to make a reservation, it's not a diner. Small says if diner is in the name, it's a diner. There's a restaurant in New York City that claims to be a diner, but you have to make a reservation at it. Is it a diner?
No, it's not
Thank
a
you.
Diner.
Exactly. Thank you.
No chance.
Thank you.
Well, to be clear, you don't have to make a reservation, but you can and should because the wait time is 2 hours to get in.
Must be a good diner then.
It's not a diner.
It's not a diner. It's a restaurant. You shouldn't even have the option of being able to make a reservation, Rooks. That was our point.
I agree with you, Chris. I totally agree. And you see, I just caught myself by calling it a diner. They got me. Just
exactly.
by having it in the name. But this is a restaurant. Let me be clear. It's a restaurant. If you're taking reservations, restaurant. Diner's like, hey, you can pull off. You can go. You're on the highway. You're tired. You need chocolate chip pancakes. Boom. You go. Otherwise, you know, you're open at all hours. You don't need a reservation at a diner. No chance.
Perfectly said. All right, let's get into the game tonight. Ryan, you have called many big games in your career. Is this the biggest non-Final Four or championship game you've called in some time, LSU and Iowa tonight?
I think it probably is, yeah. You know, last year we had 9.9 million viewers for that championship game. At one point we peaked at, I think, 12.6 million. And this isn't a championship, right? And it's not on ABC. But I don't know what the numbers are going to be. It is going to be a massive audience tonight. And the difference between the matchup this year versus the matchup last year is this year we have had a full year of storylines and hype around both of these teams to lead into this rematch. You know, last year we had certainly the Caitlin train was starting to really catch fire, and LSU had gotten a lot of attention from people after the way they had you know, completely changed the dynamics of the way women's basketball is followed in Louisiana and spelling out the PMAC and what they were able to do. But we did not have a full year of national stories and attention around these two programs, whereas this year we have. So, I mean, it's massive. Everybody in my life texting me this morning, like, go get them, have fun, enjoy, this is going to be epic. You know, like, people who I don't usually get text messages from the morning of a broadcast. So, yeah, I think it's as big a non-Final Four matchup as you could possibly have.
Rooks, last year in the finals between these two teams, a big part of the storylines coming out of the game was the trash talk by Angel Reese, her waving her hand in front of her face, similar to what Caitlin Clark had been doing in the NCAA tournament last year. After their win against UCLA on Saturday, Angel Reese talked about trash talking being a big part of her game and being a big part of growing the women's game overall. Curious to get your perspective on the place that trash talking has in what we've seen in the development of the characters and the rivalries in women's college basketball.
Yeah, you know what? The phrase you just used, right, the development of the characters, because that is something that grips people and helps storylines evolve and makes people either root for or against players, and that's what, you know, generates more interest and generates a larger audience. And, you know, I think that we all do have to have those moments, right, where
I think we may have
watching women trash talk. We have to ask ourselves, like, wait a second, why? You know, like, why am I having this reaction? And do I have this reaction when I watch the men? And, you know, and I think that the way that these women have performed on the biggest stage and being demonstrative as they've performed has allowed us all that opportunity to kind of check ourselves and say, like, yeah, no, it's okay for the women, you know, to also talk smack like this. Like, if you listen to Caitlin kind of talk about her emotion, you could tell there's like a little piece of her that's like, hey, like, you know, you guys aren't asking any of the fellas this in their games, you know? Now that doesn't mean that there aren't things within a game that's taunting versus trash talk, right? And I think it's perfectly okay for someone to say, like, hey, you know, I'm cool with this, I'm not cool with that. That's nuanced, right? But to ask these women to be in the biggest games of their lives, to be incredible competitors, and to not show emotion is crazy. And you're talking about unbelievable competitors. You know, Angel Reese, this is someone who won 4 state titles. You sit down and talk with her, she is just a winner who has a thirst and a desire to always emerge victorious. Caitlin Clark, not only does she hate losing, she hates when anyone isn't working as hard as her to try and win. There's a great line in the article that Wright Thompson did for ESPN, which I don't know if you guys spent 4 days to read it because that's how long it takes, but it's worth it. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable, and it is worth it if you can use some sick days. And he has the line about how Caitlin was not trusting her teammates, and she said to her coaches, this was early on in her collegiate career, why am I going to trust her? She's not in the gym getting up as many shots as me. You know, which I just thought was a great window into her mind as a competitor. But this is a long way of answering this. But just to say, like, these women are, oh my goodness, are they ferocious competitors. And sometimes that's going to come out in a way that's demonstrative on the court. And I think it's great.
Could not agree more, Ryan. I want to go back, though, to what you said about character development and it being great for the game. In this matchup tonight, we've talked about the character of Caitlin Clark. We've talked about the character of Angel Reese. But perhaps the biggest character, or maybe the most polarizing character that we're going to see tonight, is LSU head coach Kim Mulkey. She's as big of a big game coach as we've seen in the women's game recently. How much of an X factor is Kim Mulkey and her strategy in this matchup going to be tonight?
You know, she is a championship coach, and she's won 4 titles as a coach. She is the only person to ever win an NCAA championship or national championship as a player, an assistant, and a coach. And you know, she has a knack for getting the most out of her team in the biggest moments. And so she is an X factor. At the same time, though, Lisa Bluter is a terrific coach. And you guys know this. You know, when there is like one standout luminary as part of an organization or a team, so often it shines light on the other people around them who are good at what they do. And so often it eclipses the other people around them and what they do, because we just kind of hold on to that one main pillar, which of course with Iowa is Caitlin Clark. But Lisa Bluter does not get enough credit for what an incredible coach she is. She's been at Iowa for 2.5 decades, won a whole lot of games. And I'm telling you, as someone who is in shoot-arounds and covers, you know, the NBA, the WNBA, women's college, Lisa Bluter is about as good as any coach I've seen at making X and O adjustments and accounting for variations and teaching them to her team throughout a season so that if the moment arises in a big spot, they're prepared for it, right? Because if you don't play zone all year and all of a sudden the moment arises in a big game, it's hard to get your team to then know how to execute it. But the amount of different wrinkles that Lisa Bluter incorporates throughout a season, both offensively and defensively, gives Iowa a lot of variation. So I think you have two terrific coaches today. There's no doubt Kim Mulkey will be wearing the more ostentatious outfit, but I think they both will be putting their teams in excellent position to win.
Ryan Rucco will be on the call tonight. Game of the year, women's college basketball, LSU, Iowa, 7 p.m. Eastern time before UConn and USC, 9 p.m. Eastern on ESPN. Ryan, thanks so much for the time. We will definitely be watching tonight.
All right, you got it, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, there he is, Ryan Rucco. Game of the year so far. By the way, that could change because we have so many great women's college basketball games that are coming up, and obviously the Final Four in Cleveland coming up as well. And coming up, I do want to tell everybody about True Green. They are giving you a way to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank. True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. This is the company that's partnering with the PGA Tour. So obviously, if the PGA Tour is going to be in partnership with you and you're a lawn care company, yeah, you get the rest. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com and transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
All right, time to win some money.
Canty's best bet.
I'm talking dollar bill, y'all. Chasing that bag, y'all.
Of the night.
I mean, there's only one place to go tonight, right?
Oh, you know.
There's only one place to go. We got to go with the game that everybody's anticipating seeing, the rematch of last year's national championship game between Iowa and LSU. We all know the characters, Flaje Johnson, Angel Reese, Kim Mulkey, Caitlin Clark, Lisa Bluter. I mean, we all know who they are. We got to see it, right? So I'm going to go with the game. But before I do, I got to call us out a little bit at ESPN Bet. And I didn't want to do this, but I feel like we have to do this in the interest of equality. I don't understand why I can't bet on the player props in the game tonight between Iowa and LSU. If I wanted to look ahead to next week's Final Four game between NC State and Purdue, I can bet on Zach Edey's point total. I can bet on DJ Burns' point total. But damn it, I wanted to bet on Caitlin Clark's point total. But that's beside the point. We're still going to get involved. And I'm going to roll with the Iowa Hawkeyes tonight.
Ooh.
On the money line. So we're going to take the Iowa Hawkeyes on the money line. We're going to parlay that with under 168.5 combined total points. And that pays out at plus 225. So again, we're going to go Iowa on the money line, combined total points under 168.5, pays out at plus 225.
He survived a terrible, terrible moment in our history.
The most unsportsmanlike moment of the day.
That was terrible.
Was not a great look.
I was confused for a second. I thought maybe you were going to go with the Grizzlies and Pistons tonight. I guess that wasn't the game of the night. Although, speaking of the Pistons...
I mean, bet against the Pistons, you'll be okay. So,
well, we should shout out our great producer, Jovante Lawrence. It was his birthday over the weekend, so happy birthday to Jovante.
Yes, shout out to Jovante. I hope you had a great birthday. He told us during the break, guys, that he to share with everyone that he went to the Mets game for his birthday.
Ooh, terrible birthday.
Wait, are you a Mets fan? Place.
No, it was just something I wanted to do. I haven't been to an MLB game in probably about over 20 years. So I was like, because I'll check out an MLB game. And they're not good.
Well, why would you punish yourself in that way, Jovante?
I had a great time.
You had a great time watching bad baseball.
They got a nice stadium.
Watching bad baseball.
Good all game. Right, it enough for that, CC. Thank you.
It started bad. I thought it was a mistake at first. Like, maybe I should have did this.
What a birthday. Interesting. All right, time for the unsportsmanlike moments of the day. It's a Luka Doncic theme today. So there were two shots yesterday that Luka made that are just utterly ridiculous. One was before the game. So on ESPNU and the ESPN app, people will see this. On SiriusXM 80 and on ESPN Radio, you will not. He literally was underneath the basket, threw the ball up as high as you could throw it, off of the scoreboard, and it bounced back behind him in the basket. Did I do the description justice there? I don't think I did, guys. You want to add on to this?
You said the scoreboard, and I just think it's appropriate to call it what it is. It's the Jumbotron.
Yes. Jumbotron.
That's hanging over the middle of the court.
Massive. Ridiculous.
Think about how high up that is. They're like the Jumbotron hanging over the middle of the court in the arena. Like it's
it was
nearly,
nothing for
it's
him.
It's not easy to throw a basketball to hit that thing.
Correct.
Nevertheless, shoot a shot and bank it off of it. But it hits the Jumbotron, then it hits the backboard, then it goes in.
Yes.
Like he banked it twice.
He did.
Unreal.
And
unreal.
He looked so effortless doing it. I wonder how many times he had to practice that to get that rhythm of that shot, because he looked like it was no big thing.
So which one do you think he practiced more? The 23-foot finger roll that he had?
Well, that's next. Let's get that one. Let's get that one now.
Do we have that?
That's the, I said two shots. One pregame, one during the game. This against the Rockets, where he literally is just crossing up, steps back, steps forward, and does a 23-foot finger roll from right around the three-point line, and he's just laughing afterwards. It was ridiculous. On Jabari Smith Jr.,
who's
6'10".
I mean, is there a more individually skilled offensive player in the league than Luka? I mean, I'd have a hard time saying that there was. I mean, maybe his teammate Kyrie. I mean, it's a short list. I mean, Luka's just, he's so, so gifted when it comes to offense. Shot making, passing. I mean, he's a monster. I mean, Tim Legler in the 8 o'clock hour just called him the best offensive player in the league. Like, I mean, that's not hyperbolic. That's how good Luka Doncic is, and he's still so young.
There's only one player that I think could make both of those shots, and that, like, meaning the one off the score, the Jumbotron, and then the underhanded three is Steph Curry. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know that Steph, to be fair, actually, to what you said, CeCe, I don't know that Steph is even strong enough to get the ball to where the Jumbotron was.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
So, all right, next one. So Smalls was one of the people at the UConn-Illinois game. There was another famous person in addition to Michelle Smallman, and that was Larry David, Curb Your Enthusiasm and Seinfeld fame. And Larry David had his feet hanging over the railing in front of him. Now, why is that interesting? Well, there's a famous Curb Your Enthusiasm episode where he actually tripped Shaq.
Yeah.
Playing in the NBA. They go to a Lakers game. He's sitting front row. He gets up. He puts his feet out. And Shaq trips. And Larry David is real life Larry David, is what you learn. The Curb character is fully him, even with the feet extended there.
And in addition to that, they showed him on the Jumbotron during the game, and he wanted no part of it. It was very Larry David.
Yeah, but who does this guy think he is to just lay his feet over there like that?
I feel like that's something that Larry David would get mad about, is someone else dangling their legs.
Actually, that's a good point.
Who the hell does this guy think he is?
So do you think,
I get it. He's had a show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I get it. He's one of the most famous comedians on the planet. I get it. But who the hell does Larry David think he is to drape his feet over that wall like that, where it's clearly there so that people don't put their feet or they don't put their arms over it? I don't understand that.
You can't drape. Yeah, there's no draping.
There's no draping. You can't drape.
You know who's not getting away with that?
He's a draper.
Any of us?
None of us are getting
away
with that.
Maybe you would, CC, but I don't think Evan, myself, Pat, Javonte.
No, you know
Javonte,
what they would do? They would just call multiple security guards as opposed to just one.
I will say, though, Larry David, I don't know how tall he is. He seems like he's probably around 6'6".
I don't care.
Hold on. I'm 6'1", you're 6'8". If I've had trouble sitting in certain seats, I guarantee you have, and you've had to do the drape. You've never done the drape, CeCe? You got to do the drape.
I've done the drape, but only in the movie theater, and there's nobody else in the theater. I've done the drape. I'm not going to say I haven't, but I've done it in a movie theater, and I have enough awareness to go at a nondescript time, so there's nobody there in the theater. Like, I'm using the Tim Legler model with this thing. I'm going when nobody else is going.
Yeah, like
so
that.
So I can make sure that I'm not intruding on anybody else's experience. What Larry David did is clearly an intrusion on other people's experience.
Yeah. Well, there's no row in front of him, though. There was no row in front of him.
But there are clearly people that are involved in the game at a different level.
Correct.
Is sitting in front of him. And he's sitting there with his feet dangling behind their heads.
Also, this is not your living room.
Yeah.
This is a shared space. What are we doing?
Exactly. What are we doing? It's ridiculous.
You've paid for your leg room. You can't drape.
You can't drape. There's nobody in front of you. You can drape. I once got hurt at Hamilton.
Who does this guy think he is?
There wasn't enough room for me at Hamilton. I couldn't drape. My legs were killing.
He's so privileged. Oh, he's Green. Special. Larry
Coming
David
up next.
Is special.
You're on to Tuesday on Sportsmanlike ESPN Radio.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.